Hello, and welcome to the Listen Up podcast. I'm this week's host, Annalise Tarnowski. I want to start things off on a personal note. We, at Urban Plains, are gearing up for the next steps in our lives. We're looking forward into our futures, where we trade in our time at school for time at work. Some of us have jobs, others of us are looking for open jobs in our fields, but the people that we're talking about today found a way to turn their hobbies into careers. You met these people last week on our video cast, so if you haven't watched that yet, make sure to check it out at urban-plains.com. It's under the Listen Up tab. Speaking of, it's time to listen up. Don McDowell is the auctioneer who did the Betty Botter tongue twister in last week's episode.
Bitter. If I put it in my batter, it will make my batter bitter. So she bought a bit of better butter, put it in her bitter batter, made her bitter batter better. So
she didn't start going to auctioneer school to make money, although making a fortune is entirely possible.
And I've always wanted to go to auction school because it was on my bucket list. And I always try to do something a little bit out of the ordinary every year for my own continuing education. And I thought, auctioneering school sounds like something that might be kind of interesting and kind of fun. It's not going off and getting an MBA or a PhD. It's going for 9 days, 8 a.m. to about 9 p.m. every day. Pouring yourself into it and acquiring a skill that can lead to a very lucrative career, or can be just a fun hobby, or just a good story to tell at the bar sometime.
While he doesn't do this full-time, he'll host an auction whenever he can. The gig also comes with some prestige. McDowell especially likes the official title that comes with the job.
The title for an auctioneer is Colonel, so I do make people call me Colonel Don.
McDowell told us that the title Colonel comes from the days of the Civil War. Back then, any goods that were taken by armies were auctioned off by the colonel of the division.
Like the animal
And that
bear.
Name came to be used for auctioneers as well. But that could only happen once they'd finished the auctioneer school, just like McDowell did. Besides gaining the title from the Worldwide College of Auctioneering, the school that we talked about last week, McDowell loves the variety of people he's met.
You know, and it's in little Clear Lake, Iowa, a little Best Western Clear Lake, Iowa is where the classes are, but they bring in these people from all over the country and teach here, and it brings a lot of people to Iowa. And my class was extremely diverse from the standpoint of, you know, what their existing educational background. You know, I have post-secondary education, but there was one girl who was still a senior in high school when she was taking it. Several that this was really their first post-high school education. And there was a guy that just completed his PhD. That didn't hold anybody back if they had a PhD or they were, you know, had a GED or a high school degree. You know, if you're willing to apply yourself and work hard, anybody in this field can do it.
Now to introduce someone that you haven't met yet, the president of the Worldwide College of Auctioneering. His name is Paul C. Behr.
B-E-H-R, and it's pronounced just like the animal bear.
Behr was bit by the auctioneer bug early on in his life when he attended his first auction.
I would go to the livestock auctions from a real young age. And when I was 5 or 6 years old, I heard the auctioneer chant. And I looked and I said, boy, that's what I would like to do. And interestingly enough, the first auctioneer that I heard that was my inspiration at 5 or 6 years old to be an auctioneer, he is one of our instructors at Worldwide College of Auctioneering today, and he's 88 years old and still going strong.
As a young boy, Behr dreamed of being the man behind the microphone, but his life kept filling up with obstacles.
We lived on a farm, 7 brothers and sisters total, and we just didn't have the money for me to go to auctioneer school. My dad died when I was 15 years old. When I was 18 years old, I went to the United States Marines, and then I went to Vietnam, and I came back. I borrowed the money to go to auctioneer school. I've never thought about doing anything else. I've never thought that I wanted to be president of the United States, or be an astronaut or fly to the moon, or run a 7-Eleven convenience store, or anything else. I always wanted to be an auctioneer.
It seems like for a lot of people, being an auctioneer is either a lifelong passion, driven by your first auction, or an item on a bucket list. Either way, the people who want to be students at the college find a way. In one case, Behr helped an 82-year-old retired school teacher follow her auctioneering dreams. On the first day of class, this woman approached Bear. She asked him to speak to her son over the phone.
The son says, "Mr. Bear, we can come up and pick Mom up. I'm sorry about the problem." And she said, "I'll get a hold of my brother. We'll come up, pick Mom up, and drive her car back to Cedar Falls."
Bear then explained that this woman wasn't senile. She genuinely wanted to take the class.
She got in the car, drove to Mason City 45 minutes, had enrolled in auction school, and knew that both of her sons, if she said she was going, that they would say, "Mom, you're 82 years old. What are you doing?"
She hung up with her son and decided to stay for the course.
And then she called him back and said, "Water the plants. I'll be gone for 8 days." She was a delight to have in class.
The students of the Worldwide College of Auctioneering have a passion for what they do, and Bear doesn't ignore that. In fact, impressed with the dedication that his students have to the school and to each other, he's made a point of making service a part of his business model. Every session, Bear donates a few $1,000 from the final auction to charity. Auctioneering school isn't the only place where you'll find people making a career out of a hobby in a loving community. Last week, we introduced you to the people of Eulenspiegel Puppets. Monica Leo has been a lifelong puppet enthusiast, and she too has made it possible to create a day job from a passion. While we were setting up her microphone, we asked her to talk into it for a mic check. This is what she said.
"Young man," said the farmer, "you're sort of a fool. You'll never catch fish in McElligot's pool. The pool is too small and you may as well know it. When people have junk, here's the place that they throw it."
She loves puppets. She loves storytelling. She said she can't remember a time when she didn't love them.
"I majored in art, and my mother always told me, my mother was a freelance artist, and she always told me that if I wanted to be a freelance artist, I should find something that I enjoyed doing that other people enjoyed paying money for. So that's how I got started with it. I started making puppets and selling them at art fairs and selling them to stores and stuff, and then gradually I started performing with them. First puppet I made for the puppet company is named Alfred Schultz, and he's still with us. He's been with us for 40 years. He just had recently had his 40th, 49th birthday.
Leo spent time in Germany in her early adulthood. Her parents were German refugees escaping the Nazis. She lived in Germany for a few years attending art school. This is where she learned about the Thiel Eulenspiegel folklore.
Eulenspiegel, who was a Germanic folk hero who was born in 1300 and died in 1350 of the plague, and he was a traveling jester, and he played tricks on the wealthy and the unscrupulous for the amusement of the poor, and for his own amusement. And I'll tell you the truth, I mean, we came up with that name back when we were just starting out and just playing around. If I would have realized how often I would have to spell it, I probably would have picked a different name.
Since coming back to the United States, Leo graduated from the University of Iowa. Post-grad, she wound up in the small, central Iowa town of West Liberty. She's also taken her puppet theater on the road, working with people all over the world. She keeps in touch with her love for language, too.
I've communicated with puppeteers many times that I don't share a language with. It's a visual art and a movement art and so many things other than just a verbal art.
Over the years, Eulenspiegel has had a relationship with the local schools, allowing them to teach puppeteering in the classroom and over summer school. This gives her even more opportunity to communicate across the language barrier.
So it kind of grows like that. We have a really nice partnership with the local school. The local school, our school in West Liberty, has a dual language program, the first one ever in the state, and there's a few other places that have them now, but we've graduated a couple of classes now that started out in pre-kindergarten. And the kids, we have the government of Spain has recognized the West Liberty schools as a Spanish language academy. So the kids that graduate in the dual language program get a certificate from the government of Spain in addition to their regular diploma. The school foundation for the last few years, and we're hoping to keep doing it annually, has given us a really nice grant to do a whole series of things with the school kids, you know, from every kid in pre-K through 5 coming to a show, along with a curriculum-infused residency for the 5th graders, and we have a partner puppeteer from Mexico that comes up once a year for a month or two. So when she's here, she works with some of the kids in the school, and we do participate in the summer Spanish language camp, and we have an after-school puppet group. And all of those things are through the funding from the school foundation.
Leo has had an impressive career in puppeteering, but it's getting harder for young people to start making their way down the same path. The stars kind of aligned for her.
You know, it's not, in some ways, it's not as easy as it was when I started, because one of the things that people are running into now that weren't a problem for me, college debt. I graduated from college. I think my total debt was $250. I could graduate virtually without a debt. That really isn't happening anymore. And I think if we could get back to that, it would be way, way, way easier for people to turn what they love to do into a livelihood, because they wouldn't have to make as much money. Don't be discouraged all the same, and then just try to keep a nimble brain.
People like Monica Leo, Paul C. Bear, and Don McDowell have persevered in following their dreams. Slowly but surely, they're working on finding ways to make it possible for more people to do the same. And for all of you listeners who now want to be auctioneers, here's some advice from McDowell.
You don't have to be the fastest, you just really have good rhythm. It's probably a good lesson for dancing and everything else, but.
I'm Annalise Tarnowski, and I've been your host this week for Listen Up, the Urban Plains podcast. Check out the rest of our website at urban-plains.com. Follow us on Twitter at Urban Plains, and check out our featured stories and contests on our Facebook. Many thanks this week go to Don McDowell, Paul C. Bear, and the Worldwide College of Auctioneering, Monica Leo and the Oil and Spiegel Puppets, Amanda Horvath, Grace Wenzel, Jana Eccles, Mario Rossi, Kaylee Kunkel, and the rest of our loving and supportive staff. Thanks for listening.